The Mets have just announced that they are calling up 22-year-old super prospect Jonah Tong, a former seventh-round pick from the 2022 draft, who has shot up the prospect rankings list. He has shot up in regards to how the Mets viewed him, how Major League Baseball viewed him as a pitching prospect. I gave you the numbers before the break. If you're just tuning in, he pitched away 1.59 ERA at AA, was promoted to AAA a few weeks ago, didn't allow a run in 11 and two-thirds innings. I've heard comparisons to Tim Lincecum to describe his windup,
wow,
the velocity. You know, let's see him. I still have seen only highlights of him. But the Mets have called up Jonah Tong. Now, there are three ways they can use him, and I have been told that we now know how they're going to use him, which Sean knows. I don't know it yet. He'll reveal it after, but let me give you the three options and what I would do, and then you will tell us what the Mets are going to do with Let Me See That Tong. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Number one, they could use him as a weapon out of the bullpen. We have seen teams do this before. We saw the Yankees do it many years ago with young Jabba Chamberlain, even with Phil Hughes. The Rangers do it with Neftali Feliz. The Cardinals do it with Adam Wainwright. Bad memories.
Yep.
So they could use him as a big-time arm out of the bullpen. Option number two is they could look at some of their starters that struggled to go five innings and say, Jonah, you're going to follow up a guy after four innings. A piggyback. And then the third option, which is what I would choose, is you take a guy who's made basically nothing but starts in the minor leagues and say you're a starter. And we're going to give you the opportunity to be Nolan McClain. We're going to give you the opportunity to grab a rotation spot. That's what I would do. What are the New York Mets' plans for Jonah? Let me see that Tong.
Joel Sherman reporting Tong is being called up as a starter.
How about that? So my assumption would be he will start sometime later this week, possibly Sunday, for Senga's turn where he can be pushed back a day. But I wouldn't do that. I would actually start him before that because Clay Holmes and David Peterson could also use an extra day of rest. Now, Nolan McClain is scheduled to pitch Wednesday. What day are we up to? Today's Tuesday. So tonight is Manaea. Wednesday is McClain.
Yeah.
Thursday is then scheduled to be Clay Holmes. So I would start him if it was up to me Thursday. That's what I would do. I think the last time Tong pitched was, because that's a part of it too. I could tell you that now. I think it was within 5 days. But let me double check. So his last start he made was on August 23rd. So if we're playing his days, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28. His day, if it's on a fifth day, would be Thursday. If they want to give him an extra day of rest, then it would be Friday.
Okay, so do you think this is a matter of just, we've seen the innings here, we've seen Holmes, we've seen Senga, and this is about formulating the perfect six-man rotation?
Well, I thought they were always going to go to a six-man, Sean. In fact, I was surprised they didn't do it earlier this week because I was very surprised that Kodai Senga made his start on regular rest. So it is not a surprise at all that the Mets are going to a six-man. I just thought it was going to happen earlier.
Okay, but that's what you think is happening. We're not going to get a surprise. Hey, let's send Senga, use one of those three options, send him down for a couple weeks.
Excuse me?
Dude, the guy's not getting
I couldn't hear you. What'd you say?
You heard me.
No, I didn't. Oh, Rosie didn't? Was just informing me that we are about to hear from the manager of the New York Mets, Carlos Mendoza.
Oh, let's hear from that because my point might be invalid.
Ladies and gentlemen, Carlos Mendoza on the impending call-up of Jonah Tong.
Carlos, have you guys decided to go with Tong?
Yes. Yeah. That'll be on Friday.
On Friday?
Yes.
What led you guys to make that decision after such little time for him in the minors or in AAA?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's all about him dominating the minor leagues. You know, you can make a case, all right, he's AA, you want to give him a better look at the AAA level. But, man, you know, a couple of outings and, you know, I think it's hard to keep him there, you know. So here he is now. You know, we knew we were going to need a sixth starter and he put himself in the conversation and here he is now. I'm going to get an opportunity for us.
How about that?
I'm jealous.
So we have the answer Friday night at Citi Field. Did you hear that sound? That's me delisting my Mets tickets to make sure I go to that game.
I assume now you're going to come in and you're going to work Tong Day.
Am I going to work Tong Day?
Yeah, you're all Friday.
I can't really work Tong Day.
Why not?
Because you really want to break this down for you?
Yeah, yeah.
So Thursday night, me and my wife are celebrating our anniversary.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, we're gonna have fun.
You're going to be that sore by Friday?
Hold on a second. Jeez. 2 o'clock Friday? I'm just saying we have romantic plans. And I mean, whip out the jumbo package.
I mean, the restaurant. I mean, maybe a Met game. You know, lots of...
Maybe a Met game. How romantic.
No. In all seriousness, okay, I love the Mets. I love going to Met games. That's obvious. Uh-huh. You know what my wife loves, besides being with me?
Club seats.
Bingo.
Yeah, well, that's the way to get any wife to a game.
There are certain seats at Citi Field that she just loves. And so, while I don't necessarily want to spend the money, it's like, well, there's a good trade-off.
Well, it beats jewelry.
It beats jewelry.
Yeah.
It's more expensive than jewelry.
Who cares? You get something out of it.
No. And look, an anniversary is for everybody, right?
Yeah.
That's actually a perfect anniversary gift because it's not like it's her birthday and I'm dragging her to a Met game.
Yeah.
It's an anniversary. But we were going to celebrate that Thursday. And then Friday, maybe I'll take someone else. Maybe I'll take one of my sons. Maybe I'll take Jet to see Jonathan.
That's a good father-son moment.
But I'm serious. Like, I don't know if I was ever planning on going Friday, but I'm that excited to see this kid pitch. And you just said you're jealous.
I am.
Cam Schlittler looks legit.
He does.
You have something going on right now at the major league level?
You're missing the point.
Go ahead.
We just heard Carlos Mendoza, and he said something that should seem so obvious to organizations. Oh, you're doing this already? He's dominating the minor leagues.
He made it impossible to not do it.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
He made it impossible not to do it. And yet, while not being a pitcher, we were extremely frustrated as Yankee fans. The moment Judge got hurt in the midst of Spencer Jones tearing up the minor leagues, we couldn't even get a little taste. We couldn't get a lick of the Spencer Jones lollipop a month ago.
But I think, and I do want to equate that because I heard that about I thought that when Mendy said it because I remember saying to you guys, or saying to Brian Cashman, isn't Spencer Jones making it too difficult to not call him up? I think there are two differences that need to be addressed.
All right.
Number one, maybe the Yankees don't believe in Spencer Jones. Maybe just because a guy is tearing it up at AA, they saw through it. And spoiler alert, he stopped hitting.
Yeah. He got banged up right around that time.
And what happened?
Back. Yeah, he took a little while to get back.
Have you checked his numbers since?
He had a couple games with a couple big home runs.
No, I understand. Like, yeah. I'm not saying it's been a complete zero, right. But he cooled off dramatically. So it's possible. I'm giving you two options.
Okay.
Number one, the Yankees saw through it. And number two, they didn't look at it as a need. When you look at the Mets and you look at their rotation, even though there isn't necessarily a vacancy, they were going to add a sixth guy, and they've also seen the impact that young Nolan McLean has already made.
Definitely.
This is clearly something that can enhance a part of their team that has not been great.
So I completely agree, and that should be first and foremost. And this is more about the Mets than the Yankees in this, but it also does two things. When you're a team that hasn't played your best baseball all year and continue to struggle, and every time you think you're about to get hot, you win a game and it doesn't matter, the infusion of young players, I think, does more than just address a need in the rotation. I think it can energize a room, and I think McLean has energized that to a certain point. Now you do that with Jonah Tong. I was making the point with Spencer Jones where, okay, maybe they didn't feel it as a need, but how about just putting something new into the pot and waking the team up? And I think that this is another move for the Mets where I think it does both things. Helps their rotation and just more young enthusiasm on this team.
Yeah, no, I'm
excited for you. This is great.
Yeah, anytime there's a young prospect that you hear about and then you see the numbers just jump off the page, because a lot of us haven't watched him pitch. Even though there are ways to watch guys nowadays that didn't exist 10, 15
MLB
years ago.
TV, man.
I know.
I've seen way too many Somerset games than I care to admit.
No, I know. There is still something really exciting about seeing a top prospect, and maybe I'm an old kind of soul when I say this, a pitching prospect. Like,
yeah.
We live in a day and age in baseball in which the top line ace barely exists. Like, we don't see that guy anymore. And the Mets have called up a kid in Nolan McLean, who in his major league debut pitches into the sixth inning. Okay, whatever, zero runs. Then he throws seven innings in his second major league start. Something guys don't do anymore. And now we get to see Jonah Tong in a few more days.
That's great.
It reminds me of 2015 a little bit. Was that something you were about to say, Rosen?
Yeah, just or even before that.
You should host a show.
A little like Harvey, Syndergaard, DeGrom, just a little bit of that.
But you know what the difference is? And Pulsifer, Isringhausen, and Wilson, for those that are older, here's the difference. When Pulsifer and Wilson and Izzy were called up, they needed to be heroes and change everything about the Mets. When Wheeler and Harvey, and DeGrom was not a highly regarded prospect, so I won't even include him in this. But when Harvey and Wheeler made their debuts, the Mets stunk.
The other guy with that was Syndergaard, by the way.
Syndergaard fits this because, remember, Syndergaard got called up, as with Steven Matz, while the Mets were good.
Yep.
That's the difference. Like, the Mets are good. The Mets are in a playoff spot. Like, they're battling here. They went to the NLCS last year. So they're not being called up to be saviors. They're being called up to enhance the current roster. And it puts the pressure on everyone else in this rotation. Like, here's the deal, Sean Manaea. You're pitching tonight, bro. Yeah, I like you, Sean. We all do. Thanks. You're a good guy. You're a class guy.
Thanks.
I'm not talking. Oh, you?
You said Sean.
Sean Manaea.
Oh.
I mean, you're okay, too. But here's the bottom line, Sean. Sorry, I'm talking to Manaea.
This is so weird. Just call him Manaea. You're freaking me out.
I'm respectful.
All right.
Call him by his first name.
Acknowledge me.
Yeah. Here's the thing, Sean. Manaea, you better pitch well, bro. You ain't guaranteed anything. I don't care how much money you make. Same thing with Kodai Senga. Like, there are kids coming, and they're coming hard. And if you don't perform, you're going to lose a spot in the rotation. Like, it's as simple as that. And so I do like the fact that Manaea and Senga, and to a degree, Clay Holmes, who had a good last start, you're not guaranteed anything. And Nolan McLain has already grabbed the rotation spot. That discussion's over. I know it's only two starts in, but he has certainly shown you enough. And we're going to see what Jonah Tong does Friday when he makes his major league debut at Citi Field against the Marlins.
I also want to thank the New York Mets, because there are a lot of people like me in this area that we just want to have our last weekend of summer, that Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Thank you for pitching them Friday. We didn't need to be caught up with must-watch Met games on Saturday, Sunday. Thank you for giving us this Friday night.
Yeah, that's very selfish of you.
I guarantee you, Evan, not everybody is like you. There are Met fans out there going, Friday? Oh, thank God.
No, but can I be selfish now for a second? As I'm discussing in my head how I'm going to tell my wife, hey, babe, I'm going to the game Friday, I think Friday is a much easier sell than Saturday at 4 o'clock and Sunday at 1:40.
No doubt.
And Friday night is fireworks night. And I don't know if I told you this story. I left a fireworks game early because I forgot it was fireworks night with Jet, and he was very disappointed.
Oh.
And I promised him a reprieve on the fireworks night, and Friday is fireworks night.
Wow. Also, one more thing on Friday.
Yes.
The ticket offer promotion, Pete Alonso home run record t-shirt night is also Friday.
I don't like this ticket promotion thing. I think we talked about this on the air yesterday. Yeah, you have to buy a special ticket to get the giveaway. It's not one of those giveaways they give to everybody. Like yesterday at Yankee Stadium, did they give the Hamilton Has to everybody, or was it a special ticket giveaway?
I don't know, but now that you say that, they were not noticeable in the crowd.
Yeah, I bet you it was a special ticket. I don't like that, man.
I don't like it either.
You got to give it to everybody. If you're going to do a giveaway, give it to everybody. But either way, it's Tong night.
Tong night. Good luck on that Grand Central Parkway with the U.S. Open, too, on Friday. That'll be a fun night. Everybody
a Friday
traveling.
Night going? Oh, my gosh.
God.
Awful. Nah. I felt it last night, so I drove to Citi Field after the show, and I was doing all right. You know, it's a Monday night, New York City. People don't work on Mondays that much anymore. I'm flying until I got close to Citi Field. Oh. And then between the Met traffic, because they did announce 40,000 people, and the U.S. Open traffic, it was rough. Speaking of attendances.
Yeah, you want to apologize to me?
Apologize to you about what?
I was right and you were wrong.
I don't remember what each of us said, so clarify for me and the audience.
Yesterday, Evan said, with both baseball teams at home, who do you think gets a bigger crowd? I said, it's the Phillies in town. The Yankees are playing the crappy Nationals. We can lean on that twin series when the Braves were in town. The Mets will have a bigger crowd last night than the Yankees.
Who said that?
I said that. Okay. You said, remember this, you're drawing from more people that are Yankee fans. The Yankees will have the bigger crowd.
Did I say that?
Yes, you did.
Okay, I was wrong. The final count last night, Mets announced 41-9. Which is almost a sellout, which, by the way,
good Monday crowd.
I got to call BS on that. It was not 41-9 in that building. I was there.
It looked full on TV.
It was a very good crowd. I did not guess 41-9. And the Yankees announced a very slight 36-9. So the Mets cleared them by 5,000.
Oh, does that shock you again?
I wouldn't use the word shock, but I'm surprised.
A Monday night with the Nationals in town, with Yankee fans not even believing in their team, doesn't shock you?
Hamilton hat. But then again, if it's a special ticket. You know, I tweet that out last night, the images of the attendance. People think I'm like shading the Yankees. I'm not shading the Yankees. I've done this for every head-to-head game the Mets and Yankees have had.
Every single one?
Yes, the one the Yankees had big attendance for, I tweeted out too.
All
like,
right,
I'm not troll. Why the hell would I troll? And by the way,
who cares either?
It actually hurts me. It's not good for the Mets to outdraw the Yankees. You want to know why? Because then Stevie raises the ticket prices on schmucks like me who are going to buy the tickets no matter what they cost. So I'd rather the Mets not announce 41,000 so Cohen thinks I can't raise ticket prices. Does that make sense?
Well, I would also say if he's drawing 41,000, why raise the ticket price?
Excuse me? Are you... Are you new to this world?
If you have suckers at a season ticket holders and all you're getting is 35, then I raise it on them. They go, they're going to pay anyway, and I'm making the money up that I'm losing on the other 5,000.
Very confused by your logic, but instead we'll go back to your phone calls.
Okay.
With Annabelle in Bridgeport, Connecticut. What's up, Annabelle?
How you doing, Evan?
Good, man. What's on your mind?
Sean. Hey, by the way, congratulations on your anniversary.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It's a big one. It's 10.
10?
Yeah, the big 1-0, man.
Yay, wait till you get to the 25. All right. Anyway, one thing I want to talk before I come to the point about, I want to make about Vientos.
Yeah.
What I want to talk about is, I hope every Mets fan that is listening to me right now, when you go to the game tonight, put your flashlights on with your lights on pointed at home plate every time Bone comes to the plate.
I love that. Like an encore at a concert.
I like that. That's a good idea.
That's right.
Thank you, Annabelle. That was it.
Yeah.
I definitely think leaning into taunting Bohm for the whole glare thing is a very good idea. We mentioned earlier in the show the scoreboard operators should put a picture of the microphone that caused Bohm to complain and have a 19-minute delay. You talked about certain music, or we had a caller say.
Blinded by the light.
Blinded by the light. So, very good ideas.
Do you think also, real quickly, about special tickets?
Yeah, sorry.
Do you think the Mets will do a Jonah Tong thong giveaway night for the first 18,000 females?
I do not.
No?
I think it's a great idea. I don't think
his
that's
his face
happen.
Right on the front.
It's creative.
Yeah, why not?
Why not? Sam is calling from Rockland. Hey, Sam.
Thanks for taking my call. I want to go back to the Yankees Red Sox.
Yes.
And unfortunately, I don't think Sean is going to be doing Tommy's job anytime soon. The reason being, if the Yankees' struggles would have been against the Red Sox only, I would have agreed with you that regular season doesn't translate into postseason. But it's not just the Red Sox. They're struggling against every good team.
Okay, so let me give you an example. The Houston Astros are your daddy. Is that a correct statement?
Been our daddy, but he left for milk and hasn't come home in a long time.
Okay, the Yankees have beaten the Astros 13 out of the last 17 times they have faced them.
Okay.
I'm just giving you facts.
Great.
Like, I know they lost 2 out of 3 to them earlier this season, but the history of Yankees-Astros over the last couple of seasons has shown that in the regular season, that pendulum has changed. What does that mean? It doesn't mean anything.
Well, we weren't fearful of the Astros, though, last year, to be fair.
But you still, but they were still a playoff team, and now you're fearful of them?
Oh, hold on. Last year, and I was consistent about this, you and Tommy kept pushing me and Tiki on, Come on. Aren't you going to be scared if you see the Astros? And we were defined. No, not with
the
Yankee team.
So why are you scared of them now?
The Yankee team last year felt different. The Astro team felt different. Now it feels like the Astros have twisted this thing back around, and the Yankee team feels like the same teams from 2-3 years ago that are going to be lifeless in the postseason.
The other thing I also don't buy is,
and Soto's not here.
No, I understand. Look, Soto not being here is a big deal, but I would also argue they have a deeper lineup than they had last year.
Okay.
I mean, Jazz Chisholm has been here the entire season, and his overall numbers have been pretty damn good. They've gotten really good production out of Ben Rice. Trent Grisham is having an awesome year. We know how good Cody Bellinger has been. Like, just look 1-9. Do you not think that this lineup that they present this year is actually deeper than the one they had last year?
With Alex Verdugo out of it? Certainly.
Well, that's a big part of it.
Certainly does, but I think with how valuable Juan Soto was, I think that makes up for a lot of it.
Jake is calling from Boston. Hey, Jake.
What's going on, boys?
Yo, what's up?
You talked about the Bills not being winners. They might be winners in February now. You all saw the big news this afternoon about the Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce engagement.
Yes, right? Congratulations to Taylor and Travis. I'm surprised. I did not think this would happen, so I take my L. But, yeah, they are engaged for those that are just tuning in.
I would argue if you're the Chiefs, this is the worst thing that could happen to you right now. This distraction. Right before the season starts. Now, only one team has won the Super Bowl in the last 50 years after losing the previous year's Super Bowl. That would be the 2019 Patriots. They open the season in Brazil in 10 days. You know the only questions that team is going to get all year long is about this wedding. Probably the biggest
wedding
in American history.
Jake, but here's where I'm going to counter a few things. Number one, when the Chiefs lost their Super Bowl, how'd they do the following year? Do you guys remember?
They went and won it.
No, they went back and lost the AFC Championship game to the Cincinnati Bengals.
They weren't one of
in overtime.
Team?
No, after they lost in Tampa or to Tampa in the Tom Brady Super Bowl, the following year was 2021, and they lose the AFC Championship game. I got to teach them football. It's a tough job.
Dude, to be fair, all these Chief years have blended together.
Okay, well, I'm here for you.
All right.
So the Chiefs lost the title game in overtime to the Bengals. Are we really going to call that a Super Bowl hangover?
No.
I mean, come on. Cut out with that crap. So the Chiefs have already shown you the Super Bowl hangover thing with them is a myth, considering they got to the title game and lost in overtime to Joe Burrow and the Bengals. I'm not saying that's great for them, but they got to the AFC title game. That's number one. Number two, for the last 2 years, all that's been hovering around them is Taylor Swift. Has it affected them?
No.
It has not affected them at all.
It's affected Kelsey, though.
That's Kelsey, but yes. That's not what he said. He's talking about the Chiefs.
He's also getting older naturally, dude.
Okay, but come on.
Well,
that was a severe drop-off from him dating Scones, to Taylor to not dating Taylor.
But Scones, a severe drop-off. Whether it's age or distraction, not even going to argue it. I'll give that to you. I'll say, you know what? Let's say it's a distraction.
Thanks, man. Thanks for giving that to me. I'm going to give it to you. Thank you.
How has it affected the Kansas City Chiefs? Now get back to me on that.
No, I mean, no.
And that's the point of the callers.
Best team in the AFC.
Okay, yes. So that's what the caller said. He didn't say about Travis Kelce's performance. He didn't ask me about drafting him in the sixth round of fantasy football. He's talking about Kansas City.
To the point.
Come on. This idea that the wedding is going to distract Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes?
No shot.
Phooey.
Well, now, here's one way it could. Does Travis Kelce take Taylor Swift's name?
God, I hate you. That was my point I was about to make.
Don't. Gotcha.
What?
I'm predicting, and Paulie did this, this is going to be the big internet controversy.
What's the controversy?
And it's going to take over the locker room. Because it's a group of men that are prideful, and there are certain things that men still lean on being men things.
Okay.
She's Taylor Swift.
No, she's not taking Kelce.
I think he's going to take Swift.
Who's done that? Has that happened yet?
No, which is why that's going to become a controversy. You're going to have guys in that room going, really, dude? You're giving this up for men? You're going to become Travis
Kelce Swift? Travis Kelce Swift.
I got to tell you a story, Sean. So I'm laying in bed. I may as well tell this story on the eve of the anniversary with my beautiful wife, who I love dearly. We're laying in bed. We're talking about the wedding. We're getting married. She's going over how she is going to take the Roberts name.
Uh-huh.
And she looks at me and says, why don't you take my name?
Oof.
And I said, all right. And it's going through my head. I'm like, oh, Jesus. I don't want to start a fight here. And I'm like, well, I would. But I'm on the radio. You know, people know me as Evan Roberts. It would be strange if all of a sudden I came in as Pittsburgh Penguin winger Evan Rodriguez. That is truly a NHL player.
Good for you.
And at the time was on the Penguins.
I'm so proud that you know that, Evan. Good for you.
Thank you. And it led to, like, almost a fight about, like, why can't men take women's names? Why are we so sexist? And I'm like, I wasn't saying I wouldn't take it. I'm just saying I can't take it. No. So, as you're bringing this up, I'm like, I don't want to have this discussion again.
I will tell you, I had a similar discussion with my wife, and it went something like this. Am I going to be able to design the living room? Can I hang Giants banners in there? No. Can I do this to the house? No.
So you were looking for a return in taking her name?
The point
like it was
is,
a trade?
Come on.
I'll take your name.
I had the same conversation.
Exactly. Let's take the macho pants off for a second and all admit something.
We've all had the conversation.
I've had it,
and I said I won't marry you unless you. I
oh, wow. And how'd she respond to that?
She was like, well, you know, I was always going to do it. I was like, oh, well, then why are we even bringing this up?
Exactly.
Why would you even bring this up?
Because they want to see how much you can bend. I love my wife. We all love our wives. Everybody's wife is the same in this manner. They decide most of our things in our lives. It's the vacations. It's the dinners. It's this. It's that. They want us to make a million decisions, but really they want to make all the decisions. The one thing we could have back as men is when you marry us, it's our last name. That's it. That's all we're asking for. Is your last name really that important to you? I would look at her. And no. Okay. Then give me that. And Travis Swift is about to give that all back.
No,
Anton.
He's not.
Yes, he is.
There's no evidence of that.
You want a long-term bet?
Yes.
What do you want to bet?
I'll bet you anything.
He will become Travis Swift. No doubt.
I'll make you a deal. Right. This is the greatest bet I'll ever make. My wife is going to love this.
This is two bets now within like 3 hours.
We got a lot of bets. And it's all legal. Like, we're not betting money or anything stupid like that. If Travis Kelce takes the Swift name, I will forever be known on WFAN as Evan Rodriguez.
Don't make that bet.
I will take
my wife's
name on the air, and if you want, I'll even legally change it.
Time for another Evan and Tiki long-term bet.
If Travis does it, I'll do it.
Dude, this is Taylor Swift.
Yeah, what does that mean?
She is the female icon in the world. She is making him switches. They're not going to be separate, Kelce and Swift.
Yes, they will. That's very common, dude.
No, they won't.
They're not doing what you said. Kelce is adding Swift to his name.
No, he's
not. It's going to be Travis Kelce Swift.
That's not happening.
That's happening.
Not okay, and if that happens, I'll become Evan, which goes first again?
Your name.
Evan Roberts Rodriguez.
ERR.
Yeah, I'm going to become ERR.
Be careful about this one, Evan.
Why?
I don't know.
Scones, you're with me, right? We can see it coming to my
I just don't know. I mean, it's Taylor Swift, it's Travis Kelce, and you see the dynamic between the both of them. I could totally see it happening.
I don't think so.
Dude, you're wrong. I'm telling you, this is going to explode the internet. He's becoming Travis Swift. We haven't gotten there yet, and I'm telling you right now, that will become a major issue in that locker room because there's going to be prideful men going, now we all have to answer.
Join me. What's your wife's maiden name?
Not happening.
What's your wife's maiden name?
I don't want to give that out.
You don't even want to give it out?
No, I don't.
You got to give it out. I already gave out mine.
It's Parietti.
Excuse me?
Parietti.
Parietti?
Very Italian.
So it would be Sean Morash Parietti?
I'm not joining you.
I think you got to do it.
No, I'm not joining you. You can make your own doofy bets. I'm not doing it.
You got to. Listen. You have to.
Listen, it's not happening. It's not, because I'm laughing in my head. As you know, my father-in-law passed away last year, and we had this argument a million times, and I think he was trying to needle me, and I said, never in a million years.
Oh, so he was telling you, why aren't you taking my...
I have a great last name. And I, to the point, I thought he got serious at one point. Like, what are you, out of your mind? And I don't want to speak ill of the dead now, but no, not happening.
I give Scones a little bit of credit. My response was never going to be, what are you, out of your mind? I won't marry you. You went with the hard-ass approach, and it wasn't even a fight? Like, you and your wife never even argued about it?
Yeah, it wasn't a fight. Yeah.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
Like, I feel like it's like a respect level. You know what I mean?
I got you.
That's what I feel like. I'm very traditional in that regard.
I understand. I respect it.
You know what? If you don't want to take my last name, I'll find somebody who will. You know what I mean? Like, honestly, come on. That's not, yeah, okay, you want to laugh like that's outrageous, but like, seriously, there's plenty of other fish in the sea. You know what I mean?
Look, for the record, my wife took my last name. I did not care if she didn't. It wouldn't have meant, I would have been fine with anything. It didn't mean anything to me if she took it or didn't take it. Like, it was totally her decision.
The outside depiction of you two as a couple then to, like, your friends and all that. Be like, you know they're going to be like, can you believe she didn't take his last name?
Yeah.
Can you believe that?
You know?
They got married. They seem happy, but she didn't even take his last name.
I don't think I would have cared. I'm being dead honest with you. Like, I'm not saying this to, like, not have a fight with
everybody
my wife.
Everybody in the newsroom would have been saying it.
Can I throw another wrinkle in here?
Go ahead.
The NFL's going to lean on Travis Kelce to do this, though.
Oh, come on.
Could you imagine the jersey sales?
Damn it. That's a good point. You may have got, you know what? Yahtzee. You got me on that one. We'll come back. We'll get back to your phone calls. 888-808-1019. The toll-free number. We'll pay proper tribute to the departing Tommy DeVito. More of your calls on the Mets and Yankees. We'll also set you up for tonight's evening's festivities. All right, so it's official. I'll let FAN management know this. We were just talking about the engagement of Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift, and we made a long-term bet here on WFAN. I just dotted the I's and crossed the T's. Sean is claiming that there's a chance Travis Kelce is going to take the Taylor Swift name and be Travis Swift or Travis Kelce Swift. And I have agreed that if that happens, because I don't think it will, if that happens, I will then take my wife's last name. And FAN management's confirmed it. The new name of Evan and Tiki will be Rodriguez and Tiki, because that'll be my new last name. So there you go. Just want to let you know that.
I don't think you can go last first. I think this would be Rodriguez and Barber.
That's fine. Yeah. You want to do that? So I guess we're going to change the name of the show. So that is official if Travis Kelce takes the Taylor Swift name.
Which he will.
Which he's not going to do.
Roddy and Barbs.
What?
Roddy and Barbs.
I don't know what that means.
Rodriguez and Barber.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
The show name.
Are you all right?
No, I'm not.
I mean, I didn't think it was that bad.
It just went right over my head. By the way, the NFL talk that you just heard right here on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. I'm going to get to your phone calls in 30 seconds. I want to read an injury update from the Philadelphia Phillies.
Okay.
Obviously, the Mets pounded the Phillies last night. They beat up Christopher Sanchez, and they really beat up Jordan Romano and Joe Ross. So the Phillies have taken this very seriously. They've released Joe Ross.
Wow.
And Jordan Romano is going on the injured list, with what they are calling right middle finger inflammation. Which leads me to believe, did he like send the birdie to Met fans and that caused an injury?
Oh, come on.
Middle finger inflammation?
Well, he uses the middle finger to pitch a baseball. He didn't give the finger to the Mets and it inflamed?
I mean, that's what I'm
saying. What does that mean? You put it up in the air and it explodes?
I don't know. He was so disparaged by his performance that as he was walking off the mound, he gave the birdie to Met fans and somehow that led to an injury. You're telling me that is not the case?
Not the case.
Okay.
He probably had some Pecorino Romano and he screwed it all up.
13-3! That was a murder scene!
It was. Let's get back to your calls. 888-808-1019. The other big piece of news, the Mets have announced they are calling up Jonah Tong, uber pitching prospect, and he will make the start Friday night against the Miami Marlins. Anthony is in Bridgewater, New Jersey. What's up, Anthony?
What's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Yo.
Listen, I'm actually shocked that Stearns did this, man. Like, he's doing a little more than I thought he would this year as far as the prospects, even during the trade deadline as far as, like, being so aggressive. I like it. The thing to me is, don't you think the plan long-term for this year anyway is eventually Holmes is going to come out of the bullpen and one of these guys get a spot? Like, if you look at what Holmes has done this year, it's been, I would say, above average. But if you get into the playoffs, you can't rely on someone going 4 or 5 innings.
I would actually disagree with you and say you can. And let me explain why. Especially in the first round where you have so many extra bullpen arms, but also there are off days littered throughout the postseason, especially right. The way the NLDS is set up this year. Yankee fans will remember it because they had this alignment last year.
Yes.
It's game, off day, game, off day, game, off day, game. With that many off days and 8 guys, 9 guys available out of your bullpen because you're not going to have a full 5-man rotation, you can be really aggressive with your pen. You can go to your bullpen in the third or fourth inning. So I actually fundamentally disagree with you. I think the concern about bullpen usage is a regular season issue. I do not believe that is a postseason issue because I think you're better equipped to go to your bullpen early and often and be successful in October with the way the schedule is allowed, with the way the roster is set up since you have less starting pitchers. I think it's a regular season problem, not a playoff problem.
But it becomes a playoff problem if the regular season problem leads to too many innings where they're taxed by the time you get to the postseason.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. If guys are taxed, then they're taxed. But I'm talking about, okay, game one of the division series or game two of the division series or game one of the wild card series, whatever it is, Clay Holmes gives you 3 really good innings and runs into trouble in the fourth. You have every ability to go to your bullpen aggressively in the fourth inning and come out on top.
Speaking of that, do you think that there's a chance we live in a world where of your top 3 starters in the postseason this year, Tong and McLean are 2 of them?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll tell you this right now. And Yankee fans, let's play the game too because you have a starting Cam Schlittler.
I was wrong on that yesterday. I said Will Warren.
If the wild card series started today and you need 3 starting pitchers for the New York Yankees, name them, Sean.
I said Warren yesterday. It would be Schlittler to go with Fried and Rodon.
Thank you very much. So Cam Schlittler has already gotten himself into the top 3. Now let's play that game for the Mets. Season ends today. They're playing the Dodgers in a best of 3. Name the 3 Mets starting pitchers. Go.
Peterson, Senga, McLean.
There you go. So McLean's already there.
Yeah.
He's already there. He gets me 2 starts.
And a lot of
so you're asking me, can Tong get there? Oh. If McLean got there in 2 starts, you tell me Tong can't get there?
No, and still a tiebreak for me still remains that Clay Holmes has pitched out of the bullpen before, and I would trust him as another arm out of that.
Yeah, I think to our last caller's point and to your point about Clay Holmes.
And definitely not Manaea, by the way. Do not trust him at all. Right
well, now. Let's see where we right. are once the postseason starts, because this trend really shakes violently. Like, a week ago, you wouldn't say Clay Holmes, but maybe you're more likely to say Clay Holmes because his last start, he pitched into the 7th
okay.
inning.
Okay, all right.
You know what I'm saying? So, and let's see if Senga turns his season around. So I think it's very volatile. I think the Mets right now have 2 constants you feel strong about. Really, 1 in David Peterson. Mm-hmm. I think Nolan McLean has still only made 2 starts, so we can't call him a constant quite yet. But certainly Met fans, and you just said it as an IBO, feel pretty good about him entering the postseason rotation if the Mets are there. I mean, it ain't going to take Jonah Tong long, as long as he's effective. And he's being put in a really good spot, a Friday night at home against the Marlins. We'll see what the Mets do over the next 2 days, but they're playing better baseball. He's not being viewed as a savior. Dude, Nolan McLean was being viewed as a savior. Think about where the Mets were when he made that start on Saturday afternoon. They had just collapsed and lost to the Seattle Mariners. What happened before that?
I forgot the series they played before that already.
You already forgot.
Dude, these games. I also was on vacation after that.
I think I forgot, too.
I forgot.
See, I think they lost 2 out of 3 to the Braves, didn't they?
Or was that the Cardinals?
The Cardinals? They didn't play the Cardinals.
They didn't play the Cardinals. When did Helsley implode?
The Yankees played the Cardinals.
The Yankees played the Cardinals.
And the Yankees destroyed the Cardinals.
Was that the Braves when Helsley imploded at home?
It was Atlanta. I was correct. Okay. They lost 2 out of 3. Yes, they won the first game, and then, you know.
That feels like 2 months ago.
I know. Isn't it crazy? But think about where McClain was. The Mets are on a 3-game losing streak. They're collapsing. McClain was viewed as the hero they needed. Now, we'll see what happens over the next 2 days. Obviously, the Mets could go out and lose 2 in a row. But the Mets have at least for now stabilized things. So Tong isn't coming up as necessarily a savior. Let's go to Paul in Newark, New Jersey. Good afternoon, Paul.
Hey, welcome back, Evan. Welcome back.
Thank you, man. What's up?
I was in Italy last year. Beautiful, beautiful place.
Yeah, very much so, is.
I was at the game last night, too, and the traffic was crazy. But it gets me. Some of these Mets, I say they're fragile. The head cases. This Senga, it's like, I remember when he got hurt and he came back. And, he's healthy, but he takes 2 months because he's got to get his mechanics straight. What's going on? Last night, like, throw a strike. What is it with this guy? And then, I fought for Pete the whole offseason to sign. Sometimes he's a head case. He gets in these funks, and it's like, okay, Lindor went 0-for-6. But today he'll get hit. He goes 20 games. He's hitting ground balls for shortstop.
Yeah, but remember,
he's ground balls at the third base. It's like, what are you doing,
But
Pete,
remember
you
know? This about Pete Alonso. I think Pete Alonso's a streaky player like most guys are. You just talked about Lindor streaking. Pete Alonso had a very quiet 1-for-5 yesterday. But you know what he also did very quietly? He got the base hit with 2 outs and nobody on that started the 4th inning rally where they scored 3 runs to tie the game. So you can't completely minimize what Pete has done. So I don't think he's an issue. I think he's just slumping. The Senga thing is tough to figure out because he's been good ever since he's come to the major leagues back in 2023. And to watch him labor start after start after start, eventually there comes to a point where you say, okay, what's wrong?
Yeah. Or is that who he is now?
Well, are you ready to say that?
No, I'm not ready to say that, but we're starting to get enough breadcrumbs. In back-to-back years, he's been injured. And in back-to-back...
So injury-prone, not ineffective, because
ineffective as a result of coming back from these injuries.
Right.
I think those can go hand-in-hand.
Very well could. Let's go to Chris in Belmore. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. Great show. Love you guys. Just wanted to preface my comments by saying I am a Raider fan. I'm not a Chief hater, though, believe it or not. I could not care less about Kelce and Taylor, however... This is an interesting point you brought up about the names. So initially I was 100% with Evan. There's no way this guy is going to take like the hyphenated name, the Kelce Swift. But then I thought when I was on hold, he did change his entire hairstyle for Taylor Swift. Mm-hmm. So I'm giving it 10%.
Yeah, but wait, hold on. Mm-hmm. Chris, haven't we all done things for a woman, whether it's changing our clothes or changing our hairstyle? Like, that's normal.
Stop leaving marks on the toilet seat.
Yeah, I mean, we all do that. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think he's going to change his identity or take her last name or hyphenate his last name. I think that's far different than comparing to changing a hairstyle. Like, come on.
You're talking about somebody with a fan base and public pressure. And somebody who could really be an icon for women everywhere about, hey, I got married, he took my last name.
He would become an icon to a lot of people. You're right.
It's a cultural thing.
This is a cultural revolution.
It's a cultural thing. And Travis Kelce, once he does this, the wall falls down and it's going to become an expectation for men everywhere.
Can I give you a prediction about this?
Yes.
If this happens, and it won't, it's also going to become like a new political battle. Like, that is
definitely
set up to be.
No doubt.
Like, President Trump's going to tweet about it. Like, Democrats are going to get involved. Republicans are going to get involved. It's going to be like the Cracker Barrel situation.
They don't know what the f*** they're doing. Do you understand that?
Which I still don't understand what's really happening with Cracker Barrel.
I don't either.
So, like, I'm a big Cracker Barrel guy. In fact, every time I go on a trip, I stop at one, which I did recently. And I would tell you that it's worse than it used to be. Like, something changed with the menu.
My wife said the same thing.
Yeah, I can't speak on why or what that's about, but it's not what it was 10 years ago. But why is everyone going crazy about a logo? Like, the new logo sucks. I agree with you. Like, if that's the argument, hey, that logo sucks. But it feels like it's becoming a bigger issue than just a stupid logo.
I didn't even know until this issue was up or think about that there was a man next to the barrel.
Oh, yeah. He's the Cracker Barrel.
Yeah. I didn't know. Don't care. Just give me my syrup. I don't understand why syrup. I would care about that. But to speak to the point, I was so angry at my wife on the way up to Lake George. We stopped in Fishkill, New York. You familiar with this?
Yeah, I've heard of the place.
Okay, so we're cutting through. She wants to get the kids food or whatever. We stopped. There's a Cracker Barrel in the parking lot.
Really?
She said, no Cracker Barrel. We're eating at this Red Line Diner instead.
Was she protesting the logo?
The next day, the logo thing came out.
Oh, wow.
So I said, oh, my God, look at all this. She said, no, last time I went to Cracker Barrel, food was cold, didn't love it.
Yeah, so what's happened to the Cracker Barrel is the food isn't as good. But the part of the Cracker Barrel that's so cool is the country store.
Yes.
It's the mood of when you walk in. Like, you're stopping in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. I get fudge. I can get jam. I can get, like, a blanket.
Yeah. You could buy whatever. Like, all sorts of stuff. Like, that's what adds to the place.
Yeah.
And by the way, when you stop at a rest stop to get food, what are you expecting?
Right.
A gourmet meal? So, yeah, the food's not great at the Cracker Barrel, but the reason the Cracker Barrel was good to begin with is the ambiance. You know what I'm
saying?
Definitely.
I want to sit in a rocking chair and I want to eat chicken fried steak that may or may not give me diarrhea in a week.
Bingo. It's the same as Fenway Park.
I also wonder.
No one can say, I'm not done yet, Paulie. Fenway Park. I apologize. Didn't mean to be nasty. Fenway Park is a disaster. Like, no one enjoys watching a game at Fenway Park. The seats are too small for our giant asses. Oh, you think I'm kidding? They built those seats in a time in which we weren't obese.
It's like riding a cyclone.
Look it up.
Yeah.
So, Fenway Park sucks. Let's just be honest. It's not a good ballpark. It's annoying to get around. There are poles everywhere. But what do we love about Fenway Park? The ambience.
The Green Monster.
The Green Monster.
Yeah. Ted Williams played here.
Tradition.
Right.
It's Cracker Barrel. Fenway Park is Cracker Barrel.
Okay.
So, of course, the food stinks. Wait, you think the food's great at Fenway Park?
I've heard it stinks.
Of course, it's not comparable to Citi Field or a New Age ballpark. What were you going to say now, Rosie, before I interrupted you for interrupting me?
I was going to say that it's funny how you keep referring to it as the Cracker Barrel when there's no the in front of Cracker Barrel. It's just Cracker Barrel.
Oh, okay. Well, that's how I call it.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say.
I got to defend Evan.
Dynamite dropping.
Yes. It's called Cracker Barrel, but a lot of people say the Cracker Barrel.
Yeah, it's the Cracker Barrel.
Of course.
Let's go to Jim in West Haven. Hey, Jim.
Hi, how you doing? Thanks for taking the call, guys.
Thanks for calling, man. What's on your mind?
Got a perfect troll song for Bryce Harper.
Yes.
I Have Been In You. It's on Frank Zappa's Shake Your Booty album. It's the first track, and it's clean enough for radio.
And the reason why that would be a troll of Bryce Harper is that earlier in the show we were talking about his rivalry pack where he wears the colors of his opponent, and Sean tried to explain artfully why Bryce does that, and I think the quote he used is, Bryce said to his rivals, I want to be in you. Is that what he said?
I paraphrased that, and it came out the wrong way. Like, I'm inside your head.
Okay.
But I said in you. It's led to some weird phone calls.
Yeah, including that song being played to Troll Bryce. Let me give you a little hint. No one in the ballpark would pick up on that.
No, they would not.
Let's go to Stefan in Utica, New York. What's up, Stefan?
Hey, Evan and Sean. With Tong being called up to the Mets to start on Friday, should Brandon Sprout be called up next, maybe to help out in the bullpen?
I don't know what they're going to do with Brandon Sprout. I'll tell you what's interesting about this whole thing. Brandon Sprout was higher regarded by the Mets and by just prospect insiders coming into this season than both Jonah Tong and Nolan McLean. He was the guy. He was the top pitching prospect in the Met organization. And it's not that he's had a bad, bad season, but he has not had the seasons of Nolan McLean, who got promoted by AA to the major leagues, and now he's here. Then Jonah Tong, who got promoted just a few weeks ago. So Brandon Sprout, not that he's had a bad year, not that he's no longer a prospect, but he's had two guys pass him. And I'd be very curious to see how they handle Sprout. Remember, they moved him to the bullpen on Sunday, and it did not go well. How do the Mets view Brandon Sprout? But if I had to guess to answer our last caller's question, I think he will be in the major leagues before this season is over.
I could see that, especially if I hate to connect all of it, but McLean, I think McLean pitching well those two starts, I think further opened the Mets' to being open to calling up Tong like this. And I think if Tong pitches well, it could lead to Sprout.
Sean's got a Cinco de Five-0 in a few minutes. Plus, we will pay the proper tribute to Tommy DeVito shortly thereafter. Plus, your calls at 888-808-1019.